Welcome to the Saints Happy Hour Podcast with host Ralph Malbro and featuring bloggers Andrew Juge of SaintsNation.com, Kevin Held of The Team Drops the Ball, and Dave Cariello of Canal Street Chronicles. This podcast is nothing but serious football talk and hardcore analysis.
Which four of you would survive the longest in the zombie apocalypse, and in which order would you die?
Well, Ralph, no offense, you're going first.
Oh, definitely. No.
The zombies would smell Dave's sugar blood and target him.
They'd get his...
I don't even have a joke, Dave smells like nougat.
Now here's your host, Ralph Malbro.
Welcome to the Saints Happy Hour Podcast. I am your host, Ralph Marlboro. As always, we are sponsored by the Pelican House, 2572 City Place Court, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. They have 136 draft beers. They have a 50-foot TV. You can't watch any LSU anymore because they got eliminated. But football's just around the corner. You have the NBA Finals tonight. You might have a Game 6 later on because Draymond Green suspended. Go to the Pelican House. They're awesome. You should support them because they support us. The Pelican House, 2672 City Place Court, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. All right. We are really excited to have an awesome guest. Current Saints player Eric Harris is joining us. As always, I have Andrew with me. Eric, thanks for giving us time tonight.
Say that again?
Thanks.
Sorry, you could.
All right, thanks for giving us some time tonight.
Oh, yeah, no problem.
So, Eric, I guess my first question is, do you feel any pressure? Because the last time the Saints brought in somebody from Canada, it was Delvin Bro, and after about a month, he's spectacular. So do you feel added pressure to be another awesome Canada import for us?
No pressure. I mean, Delvin definitely set the standards high. He had a great first year, and I expect him to do great things again this season. But no, I wouldn't say any pressure. I mean, it's just at the end of the day, it's still football.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Eric, quick question for you. So I want you to clarify this for us because, you know, you come in, obviously, you played linebacker in Canada and right. Now in the CFL. And now, you know, Mickey Loomis is interviewed and he says that we see Eric Harris as a safety. And obviously, you've been practicing at that position at OTAs. Can you kind of clarify for fans the difference between the two games and why, from a scheme standpoint, you may be a better fit over there as a linebacker, but once you're imported to the NFL, for that game, you're better suited at safety?
Right. So up there, they call it a Sam linebacker. And down here, the Sam linebacker is more of a, you know, a bigger body type, more of a linebacker. But the game is different as far as the sense of it's a lot more passing up there. So you get your Sam linebackers in the Canadian League are more bigger, you know, more physical DBs that can play in the box, you know, and then play in cover as well. So it's just how the game evolves, you know. I mean, you're seeing more and more passing down south as well. So that's why you see a lot of 11 personnel and people going to their nickel package and three safeties rotations and stuff like that.
So, Eric, where do you see yourself fitting in? What are you, as you go into training camp and you start the practices, where do you see yourself as having to excel to make the roster?
Oh, special teams for sure. You know, special teams is, especially for new guys, I feel like it's definitely the number one thing. Some people may overlook special teams, you know, but I think they're very important, especially to prolong your career, you know. So special teams would definitely be for me to stick around and do what I got to do and to contribute for the team.
I know. So speaking of special teams, I know you're in the safety mix, and every guy wants to come in as a football player, and you've been successful. You have pride in your game, and everyone wants to start, of course. But then I know every player also looks at the depth chart, and you know it's crowded with Jairus Byrd, Kenny Vaccaro, Von Bell that was drafted in the second round, and of course the Saints just brought back Roman Harper, who's had a lot of success in the league. So when you look at roster, the safeties, and you. Do you view more competing with receivers, backup, corner, maybe more so than the safeties, just because you really are looking for that niche role to make the team and then maybe eventually get more minutes on the defensive side?
That's a good question, and that's curious that you put it that way. I've never really thought about that. I mean, no, my first rookie camp up in Canada kind of was going through, oh, I'm taking first team reps, or I'm taking third string now this day, you know. And my first preseason game in Canada, I was fourth string on the depth chart, only playing the fourth quarter, you know. People got hurt, things happen. So, I mean, I just learned, and in this business, you can't look at that type of stuff, you know, because if you're worried about that stuff, you're already a step behind the other guys in front of you. So, whether I'm with the first team, second, third, fourth, whatever, how many reps I get, I just try to make the most of it and embrace this, because not everybody gets this opportunity, you know. And it's taken me, 4 years out of college to get here. So, you know, I'm just enjoying the process and just trying to get better every day.
You know,
I had made a – go ahead.
No, you know, Eric, you know, the interesting thing about Delvin when he came to the Saints, you know, he looked good early – From the jump, but he admitted, you know, the game in Canada is different, and one of the things he said is, I just can't be as physical. And it took him about, Andrew, wouldn't you say, like about 3 to 5 weeks, where he was getting a lot of not pass interference penalties so much, but illegal contact penalties. What's the biggest difference as a defensive back in Canada and NFL?
Well, when he was up there, it was kind of like college rules, though. You can touch the receiver as long as the ball's not in the air, you know, for as far down the field as possible, as you want, really. And but my third year up there, so he was already down here, they actually changed the rule. So they went with the NFL 5-yard rule. So you started seeing a lot more illegal contact up there as well. But, you know, when he was up there, he was 15, 20 yards downfield, still jamming receivers out of bounds. So that's probably, and that, you know, that's one of his strengths of his game, is being physical at the point of attack. And, you know, sometimes when you have your hands on a guy, you don't really realize where the 5-yard marker is. So I think he just kind of adapted to it and just kind of came into his own.
You know, Eric, you've played some interesting places, and you've in Canada, you even scored a touchdown. You moonlighted on offense, you know. And you're a guy that sort of had to fight and claw, and you were never like one of the 5-star guys. What is it? What's the difference, I guess, for you that's sort of always been your sort of, you know? I know you said special teams is going to be your ticket to the Saints, but as a player, what do you say? This is what Eric Harris, this is what I do well, and this is my strength as a football player. Not necessarily as I'm going to kick ass on Saints special teams, and that's how I'm going to get my ticket. But what do you say, Eric Harris? This is what I'm strong at.
If I describe myself, I would say I'm a versatile player. You know, I'm a big DB that has like cornerback-like feet. I can cover well. I can run well. You know, I can play in space. Canadian League definitely forces you to play in a lot of space. But I'm coachable. I take criticism well. So I'm always willing to learn and grow as a person, as a player. So whether it's from a coach, from a vet, from a one-year guy, a rookie, it doesn't matter. I mean, that's why I love football so much, because you can always learn. It doesn't matter how many years of experience you have. You'll always learn something new.
Yeah.
Well, Eric, one question I have for you is, you know, obviously you weren't around last year, but, you know, the Saints defensively obviously struggled a lot. And so much of getting better is coaching and mentality and character. And, you know, obviously scheme's important and talent's important. But so I think a lot of times it's more about gelling as a unit and kind of buying into concepts and then just gaining confidence. So I know it's early, but what's the mindset right now defensively at OTAs? Do you feel like there's good camaraderie and a good vibe going on right now defensively?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, the players get along. We got respect for the coaches that we have. You know, I love the culture they preach around the Saints. And once in a while, you're not always going to have a perfect team, but you try to find a core group of guys that, you know, really buy into the system and what you teach. And that's that's what's really important, you know. If you have guys out there and the coach calls a play and they're questioning why he's calling this, and then, you know, so you just gotta trust in the system and trust in each other, and that's a huge thing for us that we preach right now, is just trusting in one another and respecting one another. So
how does Go ahead. No, I was going to say, how does Dennis Allen, of the different defensive coordinators you have, I know it's a different game in Canada, but his personality-wise, mm-hmm. how would you describe Dennis Allen as a defensive coordinator?
I would say, he's a laid-back guy. He likes to have fun, you know, but when it's time to work, it's time to work, and he holds us at a very high standard, and that's how it should be. I mean, he expects the most of us, that we'll give every effort, and not just effort, just, you know, but like I said, buying into the scheme and just really soaking up all the information he's throwing at us, and just being pros about it.
So, Eric, I was looking at your bio and your Wikipedia page, and something struck me that was kind of interesting is you went to California University of Pennsylvania, and your team nickname was the Vulcans, and Spock from Star Trek is not on your helmet. So,
yeah, I don't know what that's all about, honestly. I mean, every time I say I'm from Cal PA, everybody thinks I'm from the West Coast. They say Cal Poly, so it's hard to describe where I actually played college at. It was a great program. We were a powerhouse of the Division II school, you know, won a lot of games there. We had a lot of great players that played in the NFL, currently playing in the NFL. You got players in the CFL right now, so.
It might be the most badass logo I've ever seen, though. The dude with the hammer and the beard and the V, looking like he's about to crack a skull, you know?
Yeah, I was a fan of it for sure. I got plenty of Vulcan fans.
Well, Eric, I know, obviously, change of culture coming from Canada to New Orleans. How much time have you had to spend in the city? Any favorite restaurants yet, or have you had a chance to explore a little bit?
A little bit, you know, but a lot of people keep asking me how it is down here, and all I keep seeing is airline drive from the facility to
like
the hotel.
Good
but
answer.
No, I've gotten out a few times, probably a handful of times, and it's an amazing city. It's hard to describe, you know. It's just like the culture of it is beautiful. The people are nice. The humidity is miserable. No, the food is amazing. I'm kind of a picky eater, but my wife has. She'll be proud of me because I try a lot of new things because of her. So I never thought I would eat oysters before, but I love charbroiled oysters now.
There we go.
So no, it's been great.
You know, Eric, I know it's just mini camp, but was there a moment where, as you do OTAs and you put on the Saints uniform and you're like, man, I've come so far, and it's my dream is just so close. Did you take a moment and just appreciate how far you've come, or it's just total head down until September sort of attitude?
Oh, no, it's every day I feel like that. You know, every day I put that helmet on, it's a privilege, and I know where I came from. I know how hard I've worked to get to where I'm at, and I know the work doesn't stop here, you know. A lot of people were back home, were excited for me, and the support is overwhelming at times, but, you know, I haven't done anything yet. I haven't played a snap or down in a Saints uniform, you know, so there's still a lot of work to be done. And so, you know, I just, like I said, embrace every day and just work as hard as I can every day. I kind of told myself when I signed that if I came down here and I didn't make it for some reason, it was because it was God's willing that I didn't. It wasn't going to be because somebody outworked me or did more than I did.
Well, as a new father, as you're a father of twins, so to have
and a little girl on the way.
Yeah. So to have twin boys that are going to be three and to make the Saints, I think like you deserve a Congressional Medal of Honor or something.
I appreciate it. My wife she deserves a real medal. Yeah, she does. I got the easy job. She has the hard jobs. You know, she always tells me, I'm getting bigger and they're getting bigger and faster. I'm just getting bigger and slower. So, but it's a blessing to have kids.
But, Eric, thank you so much for joining us. And I want to ask you to do something for us. When you are NFC Special Teams Player of the Week versus the Raiders and you get a fumble or you block a punt or something, will you come back on the podcast to just celebrate and gloat?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'll be back. I'll be back whenever you guys want me to. I appreciate you guys taking the time and having me on here. It's good that the fans get to know a little bit about me, and hopefully I get some feedback, you know, and just some interaction with the fans.
Absolutely. I'll tell you what, Eric. Saints fans are knowledgeable, and Andrew would tell you, man, if we Saints fans are special teams demons, they have a history of just loving them. J.J. McCleskey and Fred McAfee.
Thompson.
And Bernie Thompson. I mean, Saints fans, if you go down and you dominate on special teams, they will just they will love you. And I don't know how other towns are, but
We have to name Steve Gleason.
Yeah, and Gleason, I mean, you know, we take our special teams down here pretty seriously. I would say more seriously than other teams. So we're rooting hard for you, guy, and I know you're gonna do well, and you're gonna stick.
I appreciate it, fellas.
All right,
really do.
Thanks, guy.
Thanks, Eric.
Thanks.
Thank you. Thanks. Have a good evening.
You too.
Yeah, you too.
Who dat?
All right. Thanks to Eric Harris for joining us. Now we're joined by the other knuckleheads, Dave and Kevin's gonna join us in like 10 minutes. He's walking home or robbing a bank, I don't know.
Jerking off.
That could be that. Gotta put the parental notification on this podcast. You never know where it's going to go. The Saints managed to have horrible news last week, and it I would have rather be a player get arrested, to be honest, or like a Joe Morgan, like DUI in the parking lot up somewhere. But no, Kikaha tore up his knee and is probably out for the year. At least it's not official yet, Andrew, but Nick Underhill reported it, and he's probably the hardest working Saints reporter there is.
Yeah, I mean, I'm surprised they haven't done a roster move yet, like put him on IR or sign someone else, and I'm guessing he's getting a second opinion, but I mean, there's not much to say. This one hurts, you know. I mean, obviously next man up, and it's, you know, hopefully the season will develop without him and be okay, but you know, it's disappointing because that was a guy that, you know, when you envision the defense improving, that's really one of the guys that you were counting on to improve and develop into a quality player that would help this defense improve, and now they're going to have to do it without him.
Yeah, I was fighting with people on Twitter. They're like, how are you going to – it's so hard to replace four sacks, man. I'm like, Jesus, man. Now, Dave, they're left with – Una bottom guacham or whatever.
Wow. I really hope that you purposely mutilated that name.
Maybe. Possibly.
I mean, you just added a whole bunch of extra syllables in there.
It's guacham, right? Is this
yeah,
last?
But you got the last name right. It was the first name that you mutilated.
So they got guacham. They got
boom.
They got guacham. They got Edibali. And that's pretty much it, right? The rest is just a dream, right?
Bobby Richardson?
Oh, Jesus. So, Dave, like, where do you... I think this is a bad because they just... This roster can't afford any injuries. It's so thin as it is. Dave, where do you come down on this?
Well, I mean, first of all, I'm concerned about Kikaha's entire career because he already tore his ACL twice in college. I think one in each knee.
Yeah.
So a third ACL tear. I mean, that's really tough to recover from. You know, Wallace on Canal Street Chronicles. He mentioned that John Abraham is still available.
John Abraham is like 80 years old.
Well, look, I got news for you. Teams are starting minicamp, and they're about to break until the start of training camp. Nobody that's available is going to be amazing or awesome. So, you know, you're either going to have to find some old ancient veteran or some unproven random guy. You know, you're not going to be signing anybody who's going to be like a true difference maker. I mean, it's depth is certainly an issue now,
Andrew,
at this point.
Andrew, we have a problem with the Saints and second round draft picks. Now, Are you there, Andrew?
Yeah, I'm here. Okay. Yeah.
So we have a problem with Saints second round picks. I know Goodell took away two, but man, they have the Pirate, Kikaha, they traded away 2011. They didn't have one in 2012 and 2013. In 2010, it was traded away because they had traded
Charles
away.
Charles Brown.
Charles Brown, right? That was 2010. Is it?
Who was the last good second round pick? Tracy Porter?
Yeah, Tracy Porter.
Yeah, Tracy Porter. I mean, Roman Harper is back on the team.
God. I mean, Andrew, that is bad drafting for a second round pick.
Yeah, I blame Roger Goodell. I mean, there's two players they could have on this team, possibly starters.
That we could hate. Or they could be bums and we could hate them. But either way.
Yeah.
Either way.
Yeah, well, I hate them. They could have been in this tournament.
Yeah.
But, I think it's one of those things where you don't know where injuries are going to strike. But once again, we talk about the Saints and injuries are bad luck and they're going to happen to some players. You can't control that. But, probably one of the big reasons, the guy had 17 sacks, I believe, his senior year. And if there was one reason that he fell to the second round, it was his injury history, ACL tears in both knees. And once again, like the Saints take a gamble on a guy and it comes back to bite him because now he's on his third ACL injury. And does he ever rebound from something like that? I don't know. I mean, I still have hope that he can rebound and have a good career. I mean, Patrick Robinson bounced back from an ACL tear. Came back and had a decent season with the Saints and is still playing in the league. So hopefully he's young enough that he could still have some success.
Well, I mean, my concern with Kikaha is, to me, of all the guys, even Edebali, he showed the most promise. I mean, his first month with the Saints was really good last year. And at least it was something to hold on to. And it just wasn't the sacks. He's just a guy, he had that knack of like, there's a fumble, and oh look, Kikaha is making the fumble, and he's getting the ball. How is that? Is that luck? Is that skill? I don't know, but he was doing it a lot. And to
he definitely has a nose for the football that you can't teach.
And to me, of all those guys, Dave, he had the most potential of all of them. Am I crazy to think that?
No. He, like you said, he's just sort of had. That it factor, I guess you might say, or, Andrew said a nose for the ball. He was usually in and around, the ball and making plays. And this year in particular, I think we were even more excited because of Dennis Allen and the switch he's planning to make. We learned a few days ago, I think Joel Erickson, wrote an article about all the changes that Allen is making, and Brian Young, who's the pass rushing. They're taking thinking and reacting out of it, and they're just going to have the defensive linemen this year pin their ears back and go for it. And that was a great situation for Kikaha, and I think we were all excited to see how he would do in that situation. But and I don't think we're going to see that now.
Andrew, here's my theory on how the Saints fill this hole of Kikaha. And even before it was, defensive end was going to be a weak spot. I don't think it's realistic to say Edebali is going to get 10 sacks or they're all three of these guys that, haven't done anything are going to combine for, they're going to combine for a dozen or 15 sacks. I think the key for this defense is the secondary is deep. It's got to stay healthy. It's got to stay healthy, and it's got to be awesome for this defense to make a leap.
I mean, look, Edebali had 5 sacks last year. I mean, I think people forget that. He's not awful, and I think if he gets extended looks and extended snaps, I think the Saints can still piecemeal something together. I was not convinced that Kikaha was an every-down player anyway. My main concern was, can he hold the edge? Can he with his lack of size, play, you know, a true defensive end, man up on a left tackle, and be able to play the run. And so for me, I really felt like he was more of a situational pass rusher anyway.
But I thought he was going
to
be
really good.
Go ahead. I thought
he was going to be good, yeah.
I think
that the vision right now is, you know, you piecemeal it together on first and second down on obvious running downs. Bobby Richardson and Onyemata probably are your prime candidates for playing defensive end.
Mumas was right, Andrew. And then, of course, Onyemata is going to play. He was right.
Well, it's looking a lot better now, yeah. And then I think on passing downs now, it's going to be a mix of Guachem, Edebali, and Tull. And right now, I would say that Edebali, of those three, is probably the most advanced in terms of making an impact on third down. So
Guachem is so fun to say. I hope he has 15 sacks.
I mean, look, the thing is, these guys, they've flashed potential. None of them have proven that they can be every down players. They're more situational guys, but they've got to improve. Like, this defense doesn't improve unless one of those three guys really makes a big leap forward. Ideally, two of them.
I throw
Richardson and Onyemata in there as well.
Think
of those five guys. They need two to at least be okay.
What's a realistic leap for Guachem or Edebali or Richardson? What's realistic?
Well, I think Edebali and Guachem both, and Tull really, they have.
Oh, I forgot about Tull. Forgot about Tull.
They all have the initial burst and explosiveness. But it, you know, that's not enough to get sacks consistently because, you know, the tackles, they move too well. They're too powerful these days. And so I think you really start to turn a corner with sacks and start to get into double digits. I mean, we saw with Cam Jordan, when you get an array of moves, you know, when you're able to use power, finesse, spin moves, and just when you have a lot in your arsenal, you can surprise these guys a little bit more. And so, you know, the one-stop shop of just pressure with speed, unless you're Von Miller, where you're just so fast that you're going to beat guys consistently, it's just hard to get sacks at the level that the top guys are. So I really think for them, it's really the initial talent is there for all three of those guys. They have potential to be double-digit sack guys in their career. It's just about playing more, not being a disaster against the run, because not being a disaster against the run gets you on the field more, which gets you more opportunities. But you know, realistically, I think if one of those guys can get 7-8 sacks, I don't think that's outside of the question. I mean, again, Edebali's going to get more chances this year, and he had 5 last year. So you just got to hope that he's a guy that's kind of, you know, Cam Jordan, if he can maintain his 10 sack ratio, hopefully the Saints get more interior pressure from Rankins and Fairley. And he's just got to clean up from the other side and hopefully improve.
Dave, who would be more fun to have 8 sacks for the Saints, Guachem or Jethro Tull?
Jethro Tull. I really, at this point, should we even really, does it matter? I mean, like, you know, it doesn't matter.
No, it matters.
Selfishly, I'm kind of partial to Tull. Because I just want a draft pick to work out, a defensive draft pick. Like, Guachem wasn't drafted, so it's I don't know.
I mean, the
posterity,
most fun,
you know?
The most fun would be watching them both have, you know, 8 sack seasons. But who gives a shit? As long as we're getting results.
I care about the
deal.
Jokes, man. The jokes. The jokes
please.
Matter, man.
You know what? I'll say Davis Tull just because I can't wait till midway through the season when you pronounce even his name incorrectly.
It will happen. It will happen.
We can start making locomotive breath jokes if he gets a lot of sacks.
My God, the Eagles gave Fletcher Cox $55 million fully guaranteed, which is insane.
I thought it was like 63.
I mean, come on, that dude. I mean, I know he dominated against the Saints, but
the most guaranteed money in NFL history.
My God, they've lost their mind. I mean, if the Saints gave that to Breeze, I would say they lost their mind. Good lord.
I mean, they overpaid guy like Malcolm Jenkins. So you know.
Yeah, I guess so. But I mean, I guess they have the money. They feel like they have to spend it. I don't know. All right, as we wait for Kevin, and lots of people are excited about the Eric Harris interview, and it did record, so you heard it already, so you know it was good. Let's see if we have some internet questions. This is a good one. This is from Scott Prather, an old friend of mine. He does a sports show in Lafayette. Andrew, which current player would most likely own a few Barry Manilow albums?
That's a good question. Most likely or least likely?
Most likely.
Oh, man. I can't say Garrett Hartley, right?
Morstead might. He seems kind of like a chill kind of guy.
Yeah. I'd say Kikaha.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's going to have lots of time to listen to Barry Manilow.
This is from Dylan Dave. Who is the one?
Mendy.
Who is the one player that needs to step up to get the Saints in the playoffs in 2016?
The one player.
Yeah.
I can only pick one.
You can only.
I feel like we've had this question before, and I feel like I always say Jairus Byrd. If they can get a Pro Bowl year out of Jairus Byrd and get their money's worth for at least one season, that'd be pretty damn helpful.
Yeah,
I would say Breeze. Like if he improves for what he's already doing,
plug it. Well, give me 2000.
At some point, regardless of how bad the defense is, if he's putting up all world numbers, lose, right?
Give me 2011. The last time Drew Breeze had a contract year. Give me 2011 Drew Brees, and I don't give a shit what the defense does. They're going 10-6. Like he will.
I'll take Spags back at defensive coordinator.
This
is going to be a contract year, Drew Brees.
Yeah, it is. That's what I said. And Drew Brees, 2011 Drew Brees will drag a rotting corpse of a defense to the playoffs. They might be a 6th seed, but he'll drag them there. Andrew, Dylan asked also, would C.J. Spiller at full potential be better? So would C.J. Spiller at full potential be better?
Man, he really struggled with that one. Go ahead.
Would he be better than 2011 to 2013 Darren Sproles?
Can he or will he?
Would he?
I don't think so. No.
2011. See, 2011 Sproles, man, was unreal.
I don't think you can take anything more than a wait and see approach with Spiller. I mean, he was once an unbelievably dynamic player for the Bills. I mean, that one season he had really was incredible. But I think he's a shell of his former self until he proves otherwise. And I've seen nothing to lead me to believe that he can be half as productive as Sproles was.
Dave,
didn't Sproles that season have like
the record for yards?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, Sproles was unbelievable. You know, I mean, I don't know that the Saints will ever have a dynamic receiving back like that again.
Yeah, Dave, will the Saints have the worst pass rush in the NFL this year?
Oh, it's possible. Oh, it's totally possible.
And yeah. Oh, this is over under. Saints have 25 sacks in 2016. They had 31 last year, I think.
Oh.
So, Andrew, over under 25 sacks for the Saints in 2016?
Definitely over.
If they had 31 last year,
as long as Cam Jordan and Rankins and, you know, as long as those two stay healthy, I say over.
There's no way it can be worse than last year.
I mean, 31 is a low, low number.
Oh, there's a way, Dave.
There's a way. There's a way. I mean,
take away the double digit sack guy. And it gets real quick.
I mean, take away Cam Jordan's Atlanta and Colts game, and you've got like 24, 25. How much of a disaster is it if the Saints will have neither their 2014 or 2015 second rounders playing in 2016? Well,
who's their second rounder last year?
Kikaha.
Oh, Kikaha.
So he won't. If they don't have the two second round,
well, it's official. It's official, right?
Yeah. I mean, if they don't have the two, second rounders playing this year because they have two of them, remember, they are fucked. I mean, there's no other way to put it. If Mike Thomas and Bell aren't playing at all, they're fucked. I mean, I'll go on record as saying that, and you could tweet at me and you could make fun of me when they're 11-5 without both of those guys, but That is just, I mean, I don't
Ralph will tattoo that on his ass.
Yes. If both of the second round picks do not play in 2016 and the Saints have a winning record, I will tattoo their record on my ass.
God, please happen.
That is a promise. Held.
Somebody set a reminder.
Somebody's. Ah, Held just joined us.
Hey, Kevin.
Hey.
Hey. How you doing?
Let's see. Kevin, this is a question. Is it me or the Saints due for a uniform helmet redesign?
No, I would be in favor of a helmet redesign.
I'd be in
favor.
If
it ain't broke, don't fix it.
I'd be in favor of all black for one game. Like a black a black helmet with like a gold outline. Not permanently, but like for like the one Under Armour special Sunday night game or something. Like,
that's so gothy of you.
I know. Goth.
Marilyn Manson can coach.
I gotta be honest. I think you could do the black helmet with a gold fleur-de-lis. I think you could even do an all white helmet with the fleur-de-lis on the side, and maybe like a black stripe going down the middle, sort of like over the top of it.
Maybe.
I could see them with all black and coming out of the flaming gates, you know, in the intro and hearing the music in the background. The beautiful people.
and then getting curb stomped 45-10
by Kirk Cousins.
Yeah. You know,
they're getting lit up like a Christmas tree.
All right, let's get to. Let me have any other. Let's see. Any other questions before we. Kevin, Walter Football gave Kikaha's injury a 7 out of 10 disaster rating for the Saints. Does that sound about right?
They do that?
I guess they do. I don't know.
They give out disaster ratings for injuries.
maybe a 6.
If they really want to generate clicks, you don't give a disaster rating 7 out of 10. You compare it to a natural disaster in U.S. history. That's how you get that's how you get clicks, and that's how you melt down Twitter. Come on, Walter Football.
Okay, you're right. Kikaha is the great Chicago Fire of injuries.
So, all right, let's get to this bracket. We are down to the final four. Kevin.
Oh, baby.
Kevin, I start with. I start with you, Kevin. Number 2 seed, Al Woods. Number 3 seed, Taylor Melhoff.
Wow, 2 and 3.
Yeah.
Ugh.
I just want to point out once again that my seeding was legendarily awesome.
Yes.
It's the final countdown.
So who do you have, Kevin? The kicker. Who
I think I'm going to go out. I think I'm going to go Al Woods because he. This I remember. I think last week one of you guys said that they traded up to get him.
Yep,
they did.
They did.
And your favorite thing.
He never played goddamn down for the Saints.
But he's on.
I mean,
his...
I'm pretty sure.
But he's on
his
second.
I'm pretty sure most of the people in the final four the Saints traded up for.
Yeah, and he's on his second contract with the NFL team. He got a 4-year, $11 million deal from Tennessee, I believe. So he not only they traded him.
So is that really a bad pick, or is it just idiot move by the Saints getting rid of him?
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, I vote Al Woods just because I feel like that makes it. To me, Andrew, that makes it almost worse, is they got rid of a decent defensive draft pick like you were begging for earlier. You want them to have a good pick. Al Woods could be a functional defensive tackle, but not with the Saints. So I vote Al Woods.
Yeah.
Who you got, Andrew?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like Ninkovich. Like, Ninkovich never did anything for the Saints. But they recognized talent. They brought him into the league.
But at least Ninkovich got hurt with the Saints. So the Saints could argue, he's always hurt. We got to get rid of him. We can't have a roster spot taken up by this guy who's always hurt. He didn't start a game.
I'm going to pick Melhoff. And the reason I picked Melhoff is with Woods, they recognized talent, and he was good. and it was just one of those things where it didn't work out. And so they got rid of him, and then he actually developed. With Melhoff, he didn't go anywhere else and get – I mean, he was done. Like Melhoff. He missed, like, two kicks with the Saints, and then he maybe, like, got an invite to, like, one training camp and was awful and never got a contract.
Melhoff should have been a clue to us that the Saints have no clue about kicker and that they were going to –
I mean, if all these kickers that are undrafted are having Santos – I mean, shoot, half the guys the Saints used to kick field goals, and that's the one that's kicked for them in the last decade.
Dave, so
what was Mel Half picked in?
Sixth.
I mean, does it matter? He was drafted.
He was Dave, sixth, and Al Woods was what, fourth?
Yeah, Dave, who you got?
Yes. Did they trade up to get Mel Half?
No. I don't think so.
Okay. No.
Well, I think we're going to have a tie, because I'm going to go for Mel Half too.
Oh, put it on Twitter, somebody.
Andrew, you know, Andrew.
All right,
didn't
I'm on
good...
Twitter. Hang on a second.
Oh, boy.
You
did can't you post pick, questions
on Did you pick
on Tinder.
Al Woods, Kevin?
Yeah, I picked Al Woods.
Yeah, he picked Al Woods. You know, Andrew mentioned something 2 minutes ago that I had never thought about when he said that, you know, is that Al Woods, was that whole situation, is that poor drafting or is that poor evaluation or poor coaching? And I think it's definitely the latter. As a draft pick, obviously he was good if he's gone on to be a starter elsewhere in the league. So the pick was good. What they did afterwards with that pick obviously was terrible. So I'm going to go Melhoff. And plus, I mean, did they even really have to draft him? You don't think Melhoff would have been available after the draft?
He probably would have been. And when you pick a kicker to be that bad, to miss that badly on a kicker when you pick them is bad. So that's fair. But I still went out Woods because he's poisoned the well for LSU players. Andrew,
yeah, that part does piss me off.
Andrew, number one seed, Stanley Jean-Baptiste. Number four seed, Charles Brown. This is so hard.
Yeah, that's hard. Man, like on one hand, they're both second round picks and they didn't trade up for either of them. So, you know, on that level, it's similar. I feel like the Saints actually tried with Charles Brown. They gave him an honest chance and he just sucked. But at least he was a starter, I guess. And I just keep going back to with Stanley Jean-Baptiste with, the Saints were in a position last 2 years ago where they were desperate for corners. I mean, they were starting Frederick, what was his name? Terrence Frederick. They picked him up, and 2 weeks later he was starting. I mean, Brian Dixon was an undrafted rookie. He was starting. Champ Bailey couldn't even make the team because he was so banged up. I mean, they were just desperate for anything. And Jean-Baptiste was on the roster the whole year, and he could never get in there. And that's just an indication of how bad he was. I mean, was Charles Brown good? No, he was awful. But at least, like, he started. He started games for other teams, too. I think he started a game or two for the Giants. So
they could have picked Navarro Bowman. They could have picked Navarro Bowman. He went 91 in the same draft to the 49ers. They could have picked
I think it hurts worse because, you know, I mean, at least I think the Teron Armstead pick kind of mitigates Charles Brown a little bit, too, because they had a guy that stepped in for him. It's not like tackle has become this abyss. You know, whereas at corner, like they've never recovered from. I mean, that number two corner spot is never been solved.
We have our answer on the first one, from Will Irwin, and actually he beat out just the next guy so by 1 minute. So Will Irwin says, "Quote: Didn't we trade up for Woods? If so, you have your answer."
All right, he beats out by a minute.
Cliff Harris, who says, since I don't even remember Melhoff, I would vote for him. By 1 minute, Al Woods over Melhoff.
I'm gonna say Stanley.
I feel like we need a third tweet to break the tie.
I'm gonna say I vote Stanley Jean-Baptiste, and here's why. And it's a person that I like on Twitter, but I fight with him constantly. But he makes a point over and over again about this, and I totally agree with him. Jarvis Landry was there for the Saints to freaking pick at 58. And they would have solved their wide receiver problems. Can you imagine having Jarvis Landry and Brandon Cooks at wide receiver? But no, they took the Pirate, and the Pirate's terrible. And I will never, ever forgive them for not taking Landry instead of the Pirate. So I take Baptiste. All right, who has
so that's 2-0, right?
2-0.
Yep.
Yeah. Who
I'm
has
going
voted?
Baptiste.
No.
I am also going Baptiste. I'm going the Pirate.
Look at that. Wow. Clean sweep.
Clean sweep. All right. So in the final next week, we will have Stanley Jean-Baptiste versus Al Woods, correct?
You know, a quick mention here that's interesting. In the first round, Jean-Baptiste went against Martez Wilson, and one of us, it was probably me, who knows, but one of us voted for Martez Wilson, so he won that one 3-1. Since then, I mean, there have been utter beatdowns. Mario Presley 4-0, Tavon Rooks 3-0, Sean Canfield 4-0, Charles Brown 4-0. So, I mean, this is, Jean-Baptiste is like Chicago Bulls in the 90s dominant here, just
dude, he's
blitzing.
He's the UNLV running Rebels the year before they lost to
Duke.
He is. He's Moses Malone. He's crushing people. But, I mean, the thing is with Stanley Jean-Baptiste is we look at him and you think to yourself, you know, if he would have just been an average run-of-the-mill nickelback, the Saints probably would have made the playoffs in 2014.
Yeah.
You know, and I think, is that fair? Maybe not. Is it fair? We don't know. But that's what a lot of us think, and I think that, and so we hate him even more. Charles Brown, we'd probably hate him more.
I don't think Al Woods has a prayer against Stanley Jean-Baptiste.
I don't know. Yeah. Okay, here's what I want you to do. I want each of you to think really hard and try to make the case for each one of them before you vote next week. So, like, come with a little pitch on each one since we only have one round. But that wraps up today's show. Donate. You get the audio. You get the great audio like we had for Eric Harris. He was phenomenal. You get me mispronouncing names. And you get Kevin hopping
in. What was it? C.J. Phillips?
C.J. Filler.
C.J. Filler. I am.
C.J. Filler up.
I am a professional. You can go to Saints Nation. Andrew's got all kinds of cool stuff. He's doing the Mount Rushmore of like every decade. You can go to Canal Street Chronicles. You can find Kevin on the Twitters with his new handle, Sean Orleans. Talking about
he's really embracing his wrestling personality.
He is. He's tweeting about Japanese wrestling that only like 4 people understand. Go there. So. Do all that, and until next week, the bar is closed.
Sounding like Max Headroom again.